You're listening to Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Deering. Now it's the latest in our series with WBUR City Space, Phenomenal Women. Deborah Torres went viral after turning down $1 million on Shark Tank. Her product, vegan fried chicken.
What if we told you that fried chicken wasn't chicken at all?
Oh, no.
You heard that right, Sharks. We make nothing but 100% vegan, plant-based eats using only organic, non-GMO ingredients, all while satisfying your every taste bud.
For Deborah, it has always been about family first, and you can't run a business rooted in your family if you sell it. When we spoke at WBUR City Space in October, I started by taking Deborah back to childhood and asked her about the first time she really defied expectations, the first time she remembers doing something when someone said, "You can't do that."
So when I was in third grade, I played basketball, and it was my first basketball team. And I remember we were just losing. And you know, my parents recorded every game. So later on in life, I saw this game and I was like, wow, that was like the game of my life. I remember the Egyptian movie came out with Whitney Houston was singing in it and Mariah Carey. And
yep.
if you will when you believe. And I remember sitting there and we were down by 10 and it was like fourth quarter. And I was just sitting there like, man, we really suck. Like, this is not going good. This is bad. And I just remember hearing that song in my head. And I'm like, I'm just going to go. I'm just going to get the ball. And I'm just going to keep shooting it. We're going to win. And no lie, we won the game. And I remember thinking like, oh my gosh, I did it. And then later on in life, of course, I'm like, dang, we were traveling so much.
Yeah. So is that you? You know, so you're up against, I mean, let's stick with the sports analogy. I'm a big fan. If you're up against the clock,
right,
and you should not be able to do it, and you just keep shooting.
Exactly. That's literally it right now. And it's funny because people always say, they'll come to me and say, oh, you know, you must be living the dream. I'm like, it's every day. It's a hustle. It never ends. It keeps going. I'm so grateful, but there's so much more to be done. Every day you get up, you do as much as you can. At the end of the day, you fall asleep. You get up the next day at 4:30 in the morning, you do it again, and you do it again. And that's, you know, you get done as much as you can.
So it's 4:35 in the morning, right? And you have to get up. And you have a little one, so we know you're not sleeping well either, right? 4:35 in the morning and you have to get up. And I'm assuming that in San Diego, although the weather's perfect, it's still dark at 4:35.
Yes, it is.
So what is it that morning when you just want to roll back over because it's going to be another day? What do you tell yourself? How do you do it? How do you get out of bed?
Actually, the way that I get up, so normally I'll do like meditation, I'll pray, I'll go get my son a smoothie. That's kind of how my morning normally starts, how I like for it to start. I do have a Peloton too that I need to start using again, but that's how it normally goes. But lately, probably for like the past 2 months, I have so much thoughts going on in my mind that I just wake up with like, oh, I have to do this. Like, I don't even have time to, the extra time that I would normally do my own thing right now, especially as we're going into the holidays, it's just like, oh, my thoughts are keeping me awake. Mm-hmm. And that's just like the life of an entrepreneur. Your thoughts are going to wake you up.
So let's start with the life of an entrepreneur.
Mm-hmm.
Is that something you thought you would be? Did the third grader who was playing basketball think, I'm going to be an entrepreneur one day?
Yes. I think that throughout my life, I've always been kind of against the grain, if you will.
Why do you think that is?
Well, to be frank, where I grew up was predominantly Caucasian and Spanish. And I was like one of two black people always in my class. And it was always just this kind of like, kind of fighting, feeling left out. And then also thinking, okay, well, I have to win. Or like my mom would say to me, hey, don't worry about what they're saying to you. Don't worry if they're making fun of you or saying racist things. The way that you're going to win is by getting straight A's. The way that you're going to win is by excelling. Because later on in your life, when you're succeeding, you can, at least for yourself, within yourself, you know, you did the very best that you could and you didn't let them win you. So that's pretty much where I've always gotten my ambition. Like, oh, I'm going to win. I have to be successful. I have to do what I need to do to get where I need to go. And don't worry about what everybody else is saying. So.
And at that time, you thought, yeah, someday I'm gonna be a business owner. I'm gonna be an entrepreneur.
I just knew that I would definitely say I knew that I was gonna make an impact on the world, and I knew that my story was gonna be told. Yeah, I would say that. Yes.
So your parents were hardworking immigrants. They got up at what? They started work at 4 o'clock.
Yes. Yeah. Uh-huh.
So were you raising yourself a lot of the time? Were you on your own a lot?
Yeah, I have siblings. So between me and my three siblings, yeah, we were at home alone a lot, getting up super early, taking ourselves to school. My older brother is 10 years older than me, and then my sister is three years older than me. So we're all always together, always, you know, whether he was going to high school and we were going to middle school or whatever. Yeah, we were always banding together and then kind of branching out to our own schools. But yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
And then one day your dad gets sick.
Yeah, yes. So my dad, he got type 2 diabetes. We'd seen a lot of our family members lose limbs and then eventually pass away from having type 2 diabetes. So for me, it was like, well, we need to change this, or we're just going to see the same cycle repeat itself. And, you know, my dad, he's a 9/11 survivor too. So I was like, well, he's not going to beat that and then lose his life to diabetes, not on my watch. So I just kind of forced my family to go on a raw vegan diet for 90 days. And they were so against it. They're all like, we're gonna you know, go back to eating meat.
Was your dad grumpy through the whole thing?
Oh yeah, so
like,
absolutely. No, there. And my dad, he's like the calmest, nicest person. But I remember him saying, we're gonna get rid of all the food. And I remember he was so silent. He wasn't saying anything. And then he kind of put his fist down on the counter, and he's like, I want my rice. And we're like, what? But it was so serious. It was so wait, my whole diet, my life is going to change, and you're taking away my food, and my food is happiness. So it was a moment where we were like, let's get the rice. But that's really what it was like. And so that first week, we had salads and smoothies and fruit salads, just that three meals a day type of a thing. And by the end of the week, we were all hangry at each other. We were fighting over who got more salad, and it was insane. And I'm like, well, if we're gonna actually do this diet and be successful with it, we have to eat better. We have to eat amazing food. So I started going to work in the kitchen, started making raw lasagna, raw tacos, raw burgers, raw chicken nuggets. They were made with sunflower seeds or something. We dehydrated them and seasoned it and did all types of stuff. And it was really good. It was amazing. The food was delicious. We also walked with him for an hour every day. And at the end of the 90 days, confirmed by three doctors that he's completely healed of diabetes. So, yeah.
Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you.
And that led to Atlas Monroe, because it led to that chicken.
It definitely did, yes.
So let's connect those dots. So your dad gets sick, you try a new family lifestyle. This is born out of love, curiosity, and hangriness, right? Which sounds like the right set of things for a business. And how do we then get to this fried chicken?
Well, after it was confirmed that he didn't have type 2 diabetes, my family's like, well, we want to eat cooked food again. So we're like, okay, started kind of slowly but surely incorporating cooked food back into our diets. But everybody went from saying, oh, we're not going to be vegan after this, to, oh, we're definitely going to be vegan now. Obviously, this brought on healing, and it changed all of our lives. And so it was like, well, we're going to transition from raw to cooked, but we're still going to be vegan. Well, we still want to have, you know, vegan burgers and vegan lasagna, vegan fried chicken, vegan ribs. But it didn't exist, and it sort of still doesn't in that way of being commercially available. And so that's pretty much how Atlas Monroe was born. I just started experimenting all over again, but with cooked food. And yeah, I remember making fried chicken and then having my family taste it. Like, is it good? Is it there? No. Okay, go back. Let's do it again. Okay, is it there? No. And the day that I finally got it, I know that I still have these pictures, but I remember just taking pictures and sending it. I've done it. I did it. This is it. We're going to sell this. We didn't sell it just yet, but yeah, probably a couple months later we started selling it.
And am I right? You started the company in 2017?
Yes. All right.
Mm-hmm. So now we fast forward to 2019.
Yes.
Okay. And now I've got some video for the audience, right?
Okay.
Because you and your brother go on Shark Tank.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes, that was my ex-partner. But
that's your ex-partner. Uh-huh. Okay. So you and your ex-partner go on Shark Tank,
mm-hmm.
and you do something. Well, you defy expectations. We have a video of this. Maybe we can play that now.
Hi, I'm Deborah Torres.
And I'm Jonathan Torres. We're from San Jose, California, seeking $500,000 for 10% of our company, Atlas Monroe.
Let's cut right to the chase, Sharks. We make the best, most enticing, extra crispy fried chicken you've ever put in your mouths.
But don't take our words for it, Sharks. Try it for yourselves and dig in.
Okay. Fried chicken.
Mind.
I love me some fried chicken.
It's good.
Mm-hmm. Some of the best fried chicken you ever had, huh, Sharks?
Very close.
What if we told you that fried chicken wasn't chicken at all?
Oh, no.
You heard that right, Sharks. We make nothing but 100% vegan, plant-based eats using only organic, non-GMO ingredients, all while satisfying your every taste bud. We started this incredible company from the ground up.
And now our chicken is an overnight sensation. But Sharks, we need your help to get our chicken to food lovers everywhere.
Who wants to cash in on our chicken?
Three sharks are out. Mark and Rohan have offered $1 million and a 10% royalty on all future sales for Deborah and Jonathan's plant-based fried chicken company, Atlas Monroe.
What are you gonna do?
I really like your original offer.
That's not on the table anymore.
It's gone.
Yeah.
This is the new offer.
You could have jumped on it right then, but now it's...
But think about it, $1 million. You know how often that happens in Shark Tank? You ready? Never.
Well, I like to come in and say thank you for your offer, Mark and Rohan, but we would like to decline.
Whoa!
Wow. Whoa.
Tell us about that.
You know, it's something when somebody tells you, oh, you're not worth $500,000. You guys just started. You guys are just babies in your business. And then turns around and say, actually, let's give you $1 million. No, because all the publicity, everything that we've done, we put our blood, sweat, and tears into it. People don't realize that what they were saying was that they wanted to own 100% rights to the chicken, and then we'd get the royalties after, depending on who they sold it to. Who knows? We've seen that similar, you're going to get this thing potentially with McDonald's, El Pollo Loco, Famous Amos, and they never get anything. So just knowing those stories of, I'll give you this, and then, you know, on the back end, you're going to get this, and they never do, I didn't want to be one of those people. My family and I, we put our blood, sweat, and tears into it, and I just knew, we're going to do this, and we're going to do it without you.
Was that journey with your family and your dad running through your head while you
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. And now we own our own multi-million-dollar manufacturing facility with no investment. So, yeah.
So we have a question from the audience, and it takes us back only just a little bit. The question says, fried chicken is a food that seems especially personal. When did you know you had the recipe that would work for the public? How did you know? Because as I understand it, you tried for a really long time to get that chicken right. How did you know you had it right?
Well, so the first order of business, so I worked for Verizon, and I was very stable in my job, and my coworkers knew that I thought I was vegan, and they knew I kind of wanted to start a business, and it was kind of like a little joke. They kept saying, if you start a business, you should call it Where It All Began. Anyway.
Clearly you did not.
No, I did not. But that was like the little running joke in the office. And so secretly though, we did a photo shoot of the chicken, and I made this website, and I wasn't doing any business on it. I was still working. And we get one email one singular email. I didn't advertise the website. We didn't do any business at all. And the email was, hey, do you want to come out to do this humongous vegan event where Lollapalooza is held in Chicago? That event is Vegandale, which you guys probably, some of you probably know. And I thought it was a joke. I thought, who would even know that this website even exists? I didn't advertise it anywhere. And so I slept on it for 3 months. I didn't say anything. I thought it was a scam email. And then I just said, you know what? Maybe it's real. I'll respond back. And it was real. And so they're like, yes, come out and serve your chicken. And so I told my family, oh, we're going to, you know, my dad worked at, he was a volunteer at the Gilroy Garlic Festival for 20 years. And so I said, oh, you know, we'll do the ribs and they'll see the smoke going, like how they do the Hawaiian barbecue, and the people will come. And that was my idea in my head. Oh, they're going to see the smoke and they're going to come to our line, and that's how we're going to do this. So we drive our trailer and a truck all the way to Chicago from California. We get a flat tire. We get there in the middle of the night on the day that the event started. We start setting up. We set up all night long. In the middle of the night, the owners of the event come up to us. And they said, how's your chicken? And before I could even answer, my proud mom, she says, oh, do you guys know Doomie's, the famous vegan restaurant in LA? And they said, yeah, we know Doomie's. And she said, oh, we're so much better than Doomie's. And so they're like, okay. So we're setting up all night. None of us went to sleep. When the day rolls around, I was just making food. I didn't lift my head up. And maybe 15 minutes into the event, my dad says, hey, Deborah, look up. And so I lift my head and I see that our line is longer than a football field. And I don't know what's going on because the smoke is not going. And I'm like, what's happening right now? But I realized later on that they took a photo from the website and posted it to the event. And so that's how people knew that there was vegan fried chicken.
And it is good looking chicken. It is.
Thank you. And so we're just serving chicken and people are keep coming. And they're like, oh, everybody's talking about your chicken and how amazing it is. The DJ came, the event owners came, they got the chicken. Everybody was excited. At the end of the event, the owners come walking up to us and they're like, that was the best fried chicken we've ever had, vegan or not. And we're like, oh my gosh, thank you so much. And then they're like, and by the way, we own Doomie's. And so that was really like, oh my gosh. Like I'm like, oh, so sorry that my mom said that. But that was like the big aha moment. Like, oh man, like we did something. And like the very first try, just having that confirmation from so many people that it was a great product. So yeah.
All right, so you're inspiring, you're full of joy. You have this incredible story. When you done the hard things, it's paid off. Mm-hmm. And that's wonderful.
Thank you.
But not every day is that good.
Yeah, not every day is that good.
And you're in an industry where women are underrepresented. In venture in 2019, only 2.8% of the money went to women. Mm-hmm. We have story after story in the food business of women in the lower level workforce, but not in the senior executive level. Mm-hmm. You're a woman of color. Where have the challenges been?
I think one major challenge is definitely learning to trust people. We've had every company that you could name come after us to get our chicken, to get their hands on our chicken. Some of them have come to us saying, oh, we want to partner with you. How about you bring us samples? We're not going to ever make vegan fried chicken. And then the next week after, you know, having that meeting or whatever, boom, they have a vegan fried chicken or a month later or whatever. And just kind of seeing that, oh, the people are not for you. They want to take what you have and they want to profit off of it however they can. So when people come that are really sincere hearted and actually want to help, it is a difficult thing because for me, I've heard it so much like, oh, I want to help you. But really, that's not what you came to do. So I think that that's a big challenge that now it's just kind of like, I'm very careful. I'm very particular. And I really hold on to our trade secrets as much as we can. That's a big challenge. I would definitely say right now we're at 25 employees, and you get to a point where you can't do everything. You just can't. And I'm a person where it's like, I'm a perfectionist. I want to make sure everything, every single part of this is amazing. Everything's right. But you have, I have to learn to trust my team. And I have to learn to delegate, you know, who's doing what and who's managing what, because I can, and trust that, because I can't do it all and I can't be there all the time. So those are some of the challenges.
So one of our audience members wants to know, who are your inspirations for business and for cooking?
Oh, my mom, for both. Yeah.
Tell us about her.
Yeah, she's amazing. My mom, she has written a book about her life. And she's a person that, if you could think of all the horrible things that happen to people in the world, every one of those things have happened to her. And it's insane. It's like, the book, when I read her book, I just cried like so much. Oh my God, this person gave birth to me. Like, people who have read her book will come over to her after they've read it and just hug, just hold her like, oh my God, I can't believe that that's your story. But my mom graduated summa cum laude. she worked at IBM for 10 years. That was her dream job. And she didn't look like a person that would work for IBM. But
why?
She just, her upbringing just wasn't, she's extremely smart, but her upbringing just, she just didn't have the look of like a corporate technology type of a person. But she scored the highest, and that's what got her in. They did like some type of testing, whatever, and it was word around town that she got the highest score, and she exceeded everyone's expectations over everyone. And so she got her dream job. She was in Brooklyn, New York, and they flew her out to Silicon Valley, and it was done. And that's how I ended up growing up in Silicon Valley. So my mom really is a person that it's like, she's not a person who just talks the talk, she walks the walk. So even from a young age saying, hey, how you win is you get straight A's. How you win is you be successful. And that's because she had done exactly that.
Does she know you feel this way?
I hope so. Oh my gosh, don't make me cry. I hope so. I hope that I live a life worthy of her. Yeah, I do.
Well, she can watch this and then she'll know for sure. Deborah Torres focuses a lot on inspiration, so we asked her to send us a list of the songs she turns to. And this is one of those. It's by Cayenne, and it's called Like Summer. Deborah Torres is the founder and CEO of the world's largest vegan fried chicken manufacturer, Atlas Monroe. She spoke with us as part of WBUR City Space's Phenomenal Women series in October. And that's our show for today. Radio Boston is produced by Chris Siderick, Amanda Beeland, and Sydney Bowles, with Bart Tachi and Andrea Perdomo Hernandez. Marquise Neal is our senior technical director. Titus Faladun is our executive producer. I'm Tiziana Deering. Thanks for listening. Join us again tomorrow for more Radio Boston. I never thought I'd make-